Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, Lord, for this day. Life. Life that came from you, Lord, 6,000 years ago, putting man on this earth. Life that is yours, Father, to be lived. But Lord, you have a purpose to allow Adam and Eve to have a choice. And of course, Lord, mankind today, in the common mind, there are reasons as to why that you allow sin to come into the world. Father, we thank you for the revelation you have shown us, Lord, to understand that, Lord, you allow certain things to be given people the choice. For you, Father, have a free will. And we have free wills too, because you've given us that. You give Adam the free will. You give that to Eve as well. And all because, Lord, you have a purpose beyond just this life that you have created. There is something far more glorious there than this mortal body, than this earthly life. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the revelation you have shown us. And we thank you, Lord. And today, in the world, in this condition, we know, Lord, the end is near. The signs are in the horizon. We see what's happening in America today. Some 4,000 years ago, we have seen the dark age. We have seen, Lord, the rise of the first beast just after the death of the apostles. And how, Lord, it brings tyranny and dictatorship and death into the world, Lord, by the hands of man. And today, Lord, we see another beast already raised up for the last almost 200 years now. And this beast, Lord, is just beginning with behaving like a lamb. But this is no longer true, Father. For the lamb, that lamb-like animal was given a mouth, a draconic mouth, speaking like a dragon. And speaking a lot of lies in the whole of that nation, Lord, the whole of that beast is so tossed and turning, rocking and reeling, oh Lord. The spirit within in that nation are so confused and so messed up, so filled with rage, wickedness in high places and evil and all, Lord, the filth that is there. Even in these new administrations, with all this perversion that runs in the administration, Lord, the people that runs it are so perverted too. But Lord, we, as a people, your people, here in Singapore, out there in America, India, Africa, Philippines, whatever your people may be, Father, let our spirit, O Lord, be the spirit of Christ, that we live and know that love lifted us all. Love that is agape, and love that will see us through. We thank you, Father. We thank you. So whatever the days will be, each day that we live, Father, let us live in faith. Let us not live in fear. For the world has the Bible, your word says, Lord, the people, the nations are tossing and turning, Lord, distressed, and the people are fearing for fear's sake, not knowing, oh Lord, what direction, not knowing anything really about life. And we pray, Father, that our life will live the life of Christ, that others may know Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this agape of yours. And now as we approach that word, we learn something. To learn something, we pray that you bless, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Where we left off last week. And we finish off with verse 13 and 14. Let's just go from that verse to continue. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now Paul, in verse 12, you know, talk about a desire to attain to the resurrection from among the dead. And also though that he had, as he said, verse 12, not as though I have already attained, either have already perfected, but I follow after. We have not yet attained to that measure. Let me say this, that Robert used the word without love, you cannot make it in. Alright? And when the Bible talks about this love, he's not talking about filial love, or, you know, but he's talking about the agape love. And the agape love, without that, we will not make it in. People think that Bible is perhaps talking about love one for another, just like that. Now, true love one for another can only come, first of all, from above. Otherwise, it's just filial. But if we have agape love is the love of God. It comes down, and you can never really have the love of God till you know His Word. Because it is in His Word that the Lord so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? It is only that you can see God's love in the Son. Or in the Word, as you say, that was made manifest for us. So, we have not yet attained to that fullness of it, because only when agape comes down and kept us. But as Paul said, he pressed on. Okay, I follow after. And he said this other thing in verse 15 or 13. I count on myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So let us run the race without ball and chain. You know, many, many years ago, I don't think America could do it now, but in the early days of America, you know, when prisoners are taken out to do farm work or to do some work out there, some construction, you know, they wear those shirts with stripes. Right, today they wear some sort of yellow jersey or something. But those are very strapped, so that people can say that is a prisoner. And when they were brought out in a big group to do work out there in the field, they have change. They are chained to the leg, and they have a ball. You know, an iron ball, you know that, haven't you? They are fettered together with what they call with chain and ball. So they carry the ball and then they go with their pickaxe or whatever, to a person to work. So they black the ball down, of course, that, so that they cannot run away. Obviously, if any person can want to run, you have to carry the ball and run. I don't know how many kilo that iron ball weighs. You know. So, here, Paul is saying, put behind those things which forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching for unto those things which are before. This thing I can say in two places, two ways. First, don't condemn ourselves. Don't always look at ourselves, miserable, I'm worthless, you know what I mean? And you never come out of the shell that was already broken. It's that should be broken, I would say, because you're born again. Right? Remember the caterpillar that, you know, in the message that I wrote about from glory to glory? Yeah, the ache of the caterpillar. You know, it has ache inside, it's alive. Whatever is inside, it's alive. It's just like a woman carrying a child. The child inside there is actually living. fed by oxygen and all that. He can kick and all that, but he has not having that soul yet. So until the caterpillar hatch out, it is not born again, so to speak. It is born out was one thing. So, when we are born again, all those things that we realize that we have committed in the past, the things that we have done and the bad things or whatever, just leave it behind. But also it implies that what we have learned now as children of God, the truth that we have learned, we also just put it behind us and move forward. Don't let all these things keep on coming to you. Yeah, we can reminisce about the things of the past, the thing that we have learned of Brother Branham, what we have heard. Yes, God sent Brother Branham. God sent a message. But now let us move on. Yes, God sent Moses and given us the Lord. Yes, let us move on. Alright, so let us reaching forward unto those things which are before us. What are the things that is before us? All the blessings that we can get from them. All the understanding and knowledge that God can give us when it's opened up to us. For sure. There are people that do not want to reach out. And if they don't reach out, you are not able to get those things. Right. Next verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. We know that verse so well. Have we not? I think that every time we talk about Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, we also know. Therefore, leaving the principle, see, we must leave the principle that we have learned and move forward. Therefore, leaving the principle, the doctrine of God, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again and again and again and again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith towards God and doctrines of baptism or laying on of hands and the resurrection of dead and of eternal judgment of God sending a prophet, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, baptism in Jesus' name, blah, blah, blah. You know, we don't keep on harping about all those. We already know those things. Let us therefore move on to perfection. That's what Paul in Philippians says, I press to work the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark, the price. Okay, let us go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 to 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now these witnesses, the Greek word is martyrs. The Bible, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it's very hard to figure out why the Bible is translated in the King James time. Instead of translated as it is the martyrs, witnesses. The Bible said that, no man, Jesus saw disciples that you should wait in Jerusalem, right? Until you be endowed with power from on high. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, right? And the word witnesses is martyr. You shall be martyrs unto me. So how many of you here say, I'm a witness? Bible, the Jehovah Witnesses, Jehovah Witnesses. With Jehovah martyrs. So, you all say that I'm a witness for Christ. But the question is, are you willing to be a martyr for Him? Because that's what the word means. Martyr. Somebody is going to speak the truth. That serious truth. Against sins, against whatever, you know, God's against, and then the truth of what God stands for, you will be judged. Just that when Paul and the disciples and all that, when they stood to preach the truth, the pharisaical religious people and those who don't like about it, they put him to death. Look at John the Baptist. He spoke against the two systems, the religious system and the system of Herod. And what happened? His head was cut off. That was a martyr because he He was a witness for God. He was a martyr for God. So, Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing also we are compassed with so great a cloud, well, there must be a whole lot of them, huh? A whole cloud of martyrs. Let us. That's a word that Paul used very often. Let us all, without, you know, opinions of, no, I want to do my thing. No. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do easily beset us. Well, that's a ball and chain thing, you know, the weight that hold you down. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who, for the joy, again, remember the joy of the Lord, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Remember? He set the example for us. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, why? I remember back then when I became, when I believed in Jesus Christ, not only my father was against it, but my half brother and sister, well, they spoke bad about it. It's a Western religion. I don't know how is it a Western religion. It's a the European religion. How is it? You know, at that time, you know, I was young when I just, you know, I was 11 and a half, 12 years old at that time. So I don't know much about the Bible or at that time to give an answer the way that it should be. Because if I know back then, I would tell them that Jesus Christ was not a white man. Jesus Christ, he wasn't a European. Right? You know that. It's Eastern, it's Middle Eastern. But well, that time there's despise and all that thing, you know. There is said, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endure such contradiction of sin against himself, lest he be weary and faint in the mind. So consider Gethsemane. So don't forget Gethsemane. Why, if he doesn't want to drink that cup, you and I will not be here. You and I will not know the joy of the Lord. And so I said this, Christ, you know, he endured all the shame and the pain and the suffering to go to the cross, because in him, though he doesn't want to die, nobody wants to die. I said this. But yet he looked beyond that cross. Huh? That he is going to die upon. He looked beyond the cross and he saw your need. He saw you and me. Because he realized that, oh, if I die, he himself already said so, perhaps God's, though when he prayed to him, God remained silent, and I believe that Christ knew him. Because he himself said, unless a grain of corn dies, it will not bring forth much fruit. Right? So it goes in the, so this is why many times when we all say we confess about the Lord Jesus, this and that, we better remember what we say with what we confess. And live that life. Right? So he, you know, I believe Christ has remembered all that which he said, because he must have known all that which the word, because he said, in the volume of book it is written on me. Right? Huh. He knows all this. Now, then he even asked people, ask the disciple, who do you think I am? And when Peter told him, the daughter of Messiah, the son of living God. So if he was come Messiah, then what is Messiah going to do? Messiah must fulfill Messiah? See, death to save. See? So for consider, verse 3, for consider him that endure such contradiction of sinner against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. So whenever you feel like giving up, you know, many Christians in Singapore have actually given up this faith. especially those in charismaticism. Because in charismaticism, it is not many people go down there for social. To go there social. Now, how many of you know where Wesley Church is in Singapore? You know where Wesley Church is in Singapore? It's Fort Canning, right? And you know, if you ever go there on Sunday, have a look and see what, you see a lot of big cars go there. To me, Wesley Church is a rich man's church. Wealthy people. Do you think a wealthy people, who businessmen, will come to our fellowship like that? Look at how many rich people were there in Jesus Christ's 12 disciples. Right? Because you see, some people have this image. Like, many times they will tell you, oh, you get such a small fellowship. God is not with you. I remember I told you this once. The man visited me when I have, you know, many years ago, back in the, I think, 70s. We only have 12 people. 10 or 12 people at that time. He came, I don't know, he was a stranger, so we, you know, a Christian, he read one of my books that we printed at that time, is Psycho Stalin. He came and fellowship with us. I mean, it was not fellowship, it was fellowship with me one to one, just at a talk. Then I think about 2 years or 3 years down the road, he met me again, he asked, how many people have you now? I said, well, it's about the same. Oh, you have about the same. We started our fellowship just a few years ago, and we have more than 20 now. You know, and growing. And you only have the same number. God is not with you, brother. I say, yeah. God's not with me. How many do you have? 20 plus, maybe 30, 40? Ah, I think God is not with you also. I say, why? Look at the current church. You are thousands, hundreds of thousands, man. You have only how many? I think maybe Jesus' 12 disciples is just too small. You see, people look at quantity, look at glory, big. That's the reason why churches are built, the building that they built. They have always this steeple, the oblique sign. Yeah, people don't know it's an oblique sign. Huh? You see, it's not good. And they want to make the church look good. And you can see, especially the Pentecostal church and Church, they have very big building, and then they have choirs up there in purple robe. How many of you have seen purple robe? Yeah, they're singing out there. Especially, they entertain the people. I remember there's an assembly that I go to, the same. I was in a choir, I know I was in a choir. So we would sing a song, we learned, we sing a good hymn. We all come out, about 20, about 30 of us, and we sing to the whole congregation. Wow. We entertain the people. Instead of everybody sing together, right? Yeah. No, we entertain the people. So these are the church, and in fact, some charismatic church, they have popular pop singers to come and sing. Yeah, I think in India too. Very popular in India. Library planting, yeah. Okay, let's go back to where we have in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verse 4. So let us not faint in your mind, alright? In our mind. You have not yet resisted unto the blood striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speak unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loved, he chastened, and scourged every son whom he received. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastard and not sons. What is a bastard? I mean, you're supposed to say, oh, I'm a Christian. You only profess religion. You don't profess faith. Because you do not want to be chastised by the Lord, then something is wrong. You know, people, there used to be, in the early days as a Christian, you know, in the assemblies of God, and there are preachers that come and preach and say that if you have sickness, That means there are sin in your life.
Oh.
So if you have sinners, you have sin in your life, then I wonder what sin did Job commit that God not only took everything from him, but put sores on his feet. Not just, you know, what we call boys. Right? Actually, some of them probably as big as a carbuncle. Big. He couldn't sit. He couldn't lie down. He has to use what we call ashes so that to sue him.
My.
Job must have committed something terrible. Did he? Or was it God? Was God want to chasten him by proving to Satan that he will not deny me? And at the same time, teach Job. Job was a little ignorant. You know, sometimes God doesn't want us to be ignorant. So sometimes he allows certain things to be in our lives so that we can wake up and start to find out what went wrong. You know. You see. Alright, go back to Philippians then. Verse, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let us press on. Let us go on unto perfection. What is to press? You know, press. What is to press? Press forward. It means pushing forward. Yeah. Against all the forces. And that reminds me of Black Friday. Black Friday. Is it Black Friday sales? It happened in America, the crazy thing that people do. Even in Singapore, they start with even summer sales. Singapore, we've got summer and winter. They put summer sales. And people will queue out overnight and come overnight so that it could be the first, right? But sometimes when the stock is limited, when the door opens, people are just rushing and pushing. Huh, that is pushing. They are pressing toward the mark for what they want to buy. Oh, my. Yeah, yeah. And that's what Paul is saying, we push on. But not pushing against other people, other believers, but push against the forces they come to take, pull you back. Alright, we keep on pushing toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if any things ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it, even this unto you. The word perfect here, the word perfect, you know, every time the Bible translates perfect, most of the time is about maturity. Alright? Someone who is fully grown. So let us go on to perfection means that let us be mature, let us go on to that we are fully grown. So that we'll not be tossed to and fro. How can you be fully grown? I mean, you expect, I know, Adam, you know, being a child, a young man, whatever, you know, kid, I mean, they're fair-minded. I remember Adam 2 weeks ago, he planned to go with me. Well, his journey is about buses and train, okay? So he planned to go with me, and I said, where are we going? Okay, we are going to Hong Kong. I said, okay. So how do we proceed? Yeah, I saw him had the list of how to proceed. The list was long. You know, I said, okay. He said, we go to Sangoon first, and then we change to Hong Kong. So, okay, we went. So when we were there, he said, Grandpa has the bus, 113. So we take this bus, 113. I said, to where? Then he mentioned some place which I don't understand. I said, why do you want to go to the hub? Coven hub. Was it Coven hub? I can't remember the name now. He said, why do you want to go to the hub? Is this just, you know what the hub is, right? It's just a little town thing, down ship with all the department or whatever, the government building, something like that. He said, you want to go there? He said, no, you don't understand, Grandpa. Of course I don't understand. Because it's a child's mind. So, okay. We take the bus, 113. And suddenly on the way, he wanted to connect to 115. Suddenly he saw a bus stop that says 115 also. Hey, Dad, Grandpa, let's get up. I said, last minute you get up. I said, people are coming up, the bus is moving. No, we couldn't get up here. I said, where are you going? And so you want to go celebrate, now you want to quickly get up. Oh, you know how kids are, okay. Next, I said, maybe the next stop we can get up. So next stop, yeah, there's a bus, 115. So we hop up, then we took the bus, 115. And he said, oh, this is interesting. We come to this place, and so then after that pass the Coma House. Actually, because we take the train, it goes the other way around. Oh, so he's over on the opposite side. So I don't know what is on his mind. Okay, next moment, he say, let us take this, do this, turn the way around. I tell you, I said, I'm so confused. So, I'm trying to understand the little mind, the immature mind, correct? And he can explain where and what and so on and so forth. Well, that's interesting, but you see, for mature people, it shouldn't be. When you tell the person, you plan something, you know where you're going, what you're doing. Alright? And immature mind, no, they don't. Because the mind is always here and there. Next moment, last minute, make a change. Alright? So now, if we were not mature, like a young person who's not matured, in the mental, you know, in the physical sense, then our faith will be wavering. Do you understand? Our faith will be wavering. One moment here, you might change your mind. And that's why a lot of people who go to charismatic church, many of them turn secular, which is very true. And I met people like that. Oh, don't talk to me about Jesus, I was once a Christian. You see why? What happened? And you know, as I said this many, many times, wisdom comes from the Word of God. Maturity comes from the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't have the foundation. So how do I deal with people, you know, who are in a denomination or those who are in Brahminism? When your mind is all around, settled down only in the foundation of that system. Huh? And you know, many years ago there was a believer. I don't know where he is now because it's all some conflict in the family. He told me one day I was out with him. You probably know the brother. You know, the family has a paper shop and we always have that bread that, you know, that is cannot be sold in the department because it's already expired, but it's edible. One day I was with him and he told me, he was talking and discussing me religion. And he made this one statement, which I agree very much with him. He said this very again. Said, you know, in Christianity, in this faith that we have, when we look into the Bible and look into what it says, the Bible makes a whole lot of sense. And people can sit down and then look at it and discuss over it, and we can see that the Bible makes a whole lot of sense. And I said, yes. But in other religion, other things, you know, just, you can't. How many of you believe in Nirvana? You believe reincarnation? That when you die, if you don't behave properly, you will die. Next moment, when you are rebirth, you become perhaps a monkey. Because monkey don't behave. But if you behave a good man, and then you die in reincarnation, maybe you be born a prince, something like that. You believe reincarnation? How do you explain that, Frank? And many other religions, of course, you know, we know, you discuss with, there are many conflicts in that. And the brothers say, the Bible is the only one that makes sense. Where we come from, who we are, and where we are going. Right? Yes. Alright. Verse 15, yes. For let us therefore be as many as be perfected, be task-minded, what do you mean? Be of one mind. Right? Be task-minded. And if anything, if in anything you be otherwise-minded, God will reveal it unto you. Let's go to Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. I'll read verse 6 onward. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he tingled in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, say he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten, shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet word. Now, there is a word that we know well. The phrase, for as a man tingled in his heart, so is he. You all know this very well, right? And this is what you read here in the Bible. But it's not, the Bible here is not translated right. Because the only translation, we can look at the word heart. We think about the heart, the deep inside, whatever is our feeling deep inside. So the word here, heart, should be removed. As a man thinketh, so is he. The word heart should not be there. As a man thinketh, so is he. So the word heart then, how was it translated? Actually, in the Hebrew, the word heart here is nephesh. Nephesh. It means, it says, the soul, the being. So if he says, as a man thinketh, that's all. Thinketh because it's his being. Or does man thinketh in his soul? Which of course sounds funny. So, what do we talk about? Because how do we know that? Because you see here, the verse above, verse 6 and verse 8 will tell you. It's about the man's feeling. I say, hey friend, come and eat. You know? He wants to give you a good treat, eat. But then in fact, it is different. And this is true because I remember when I was young. When I was in the Assemblies of God Church, and here was a group of us here. We all live in the same area in Queenstown. So this was, you know, my father was not working. My mom was working as domestic help. You know, because back then the British forces was here. What we call the Anzuk. Anzuk, you know, A-N-Z-U-K. Anzuk is Australia, New Zealand, United Kingdom. The armies or the armed forces was here. So my mom worked for one of the family to support us. When I was in the church there, and then this group of young men, we all, you know, at the same standard, we all were taking our PSLE, or maybe in our O level. So we were there, we played football, we played badminton, and so on and so forth. So these two young men, you know, they were allowed to do. The father has good job, and they were allowed to do. So me, my father was not working, so my mom was struggling to put food, so I don't have much money. But when we went out and played football in downtown, you know, usually Farrer Park, for example, we go there, and then we come back home, and there was this store, a hawker, Indian hawker, selling rojak, you know, there's Indian fritter food and things like that. And, well, you know, see, we got a group, and they know I don't have that money. So one of them said to me, what do you want? Just buy and I'll pay. I said, okay. So I bought and eat. So this went on a few times. And so one day, he told me, he said, you know, every time I give you a treat, he said, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, no man, you just say no. When I ask you, would you like the treat? You should say no. Instead of that, you say yes. So what do you expect? I was young, I was hungry, you know, we play the game. You give me a treat. So the heart says, actually your mouth say yes, but the heart say no. You're offering with the mouth, but the heart say no. As a man thinketh. You see, the thinking, as what the Bible here said is true, you vomit it out. And so, when I recall this, you know, I heard many times those people in that message like to say, you know, Brother Abraham said, God goes for the heart of the man because he has the first choice. He goes for the heart of the man. Satan goes for the head. So I was wondering, hey, you mean God have the first choice to choose the heart? And Satan have no choice but to choose the head. So, you know, Balabram sometimes speaks like this, but people need to understand what he's speaking. They just take this. If that is true, Balabram said that God had the first choice and he took the heart, well, then I should not have sinned. I should be perfect, right? He took my heart, so he's in command. Then he said, I have no choice. Then why am I still doing things that I shouldn't do? Right? We should be perfect. You see, sometimes people say things they don't. What problem say? He's trying to explain something. He put words that may not be exactly correct. You see? So, let me ask you this. When you think, what is your thinking? If I ask my grandson Adam, where is the place where you are thinking? He's pointing to the head. See, he's pointing to the head because everybody thinks, I think with my head. You think with your mind. You think with your heart. You think with your soul. So when you said, I think, now as a man, so the Bible, the word heart is not correctly translated. It should not be there. Alright, the word heart means actually translated as nefesh, the being. As a man thinketh in him, so is he. Correct? So we only say, when a man thinks with his head, he's calm. When a man thinks with his heart, he's not. That's not really true. Huh? Correct? Yeah. The feeling, the emotion is that, I love the girl. You say, really love the girl? And the girl said, yeah, I love you. Really? So sometimes it's an emotion. It's not really true. So when we talk about really thinking as a Christian, let us think with our spirit that where God resided in. And where did God live? He said, God lives in my heart. Now we let the last street there because the heart is four chambers and there's a cross. So the soul is there. And it can, even in the scientists, they say something about the heart. The heart don't need battery to pump. The heart is life itself. You remove the heart, the man is dead. You know, because there's no oxygen. Okay, you can give oxygen to him artificially and he will live. Correct. But as a being that God created, suddenly even said there's something in the heart that keeps the human being alive. And there's the soul might be there. So where is the soul? You are the soul. We are soul because of the spirit of life. In the animal, he said, the soul. Huh? When people hear the first time and I said that, they said, you're confused. They say, only human being have soul. Animals do not have a soul. But you know, denomination taught that is because the sense that they try to differentiate. Huh? By saying the animal don't have soul, no, that's not true. Animals have a soul because there is life, there's spirit. But only human beings are created in the image of God. Animals are not. Birds are not. Every animal that breathes through a nostril, they have a soul. The Bible uses nephesh. Means the soul, the life. And where does the life come from? It comes from God. The spirit of life. Only that the man is created a living soul first before he's put in the body. Animals were not. Because man, Adam was created in the image of where he was created a spirit being, just like God. Animals were not. Then God gave him a house made of dust and put Adam in it so that he could be a physical being on this earth and have dominion over this earth and all living things. So when we look at the Bible trying to understand things, sometimes I get tired with some of these believers actually trying to say things that, but again, you're teaching all this. What is the use? We don't need to know all this. Yeah, back in those days when the Lord was dealing with me in the 80s, 90s, when I wrote a lot of books, messages that came out, people are receiving the book, they were reading it. And you went into them, this primary church, and many of them are very upset. They destroy, they collect the book, they burn it, they tear it up. and said, this is contrary to Brother Branham. And I have a few that correspond with me, even in America. One man was so adamant. You know what he said? All the Brother Abraham brought is enough. We don't need to know where was the Garden of Eden. You know, I preach about the Garden, you know, location, right? God give it to me in the understanding. Oh, we don't need to know that. We don't need to know the mark of Cain. And many other things that they were arguing. And the way they said it, we don't need to know it because it does not affect my salvation. It's okay. I don't need to know Malachi 4, 5 and 6. I don't need to know that God sent a prophet. I don't need to know the Brother Man taught of the seven church ages. The seventh seal, the original sin. I don't need to know all this. I don't even need to know where Christ was born or where he died. I don't need to know that Christ had found this up and sent them out. I don't need to know all this because it will not affect my salvation, right? And that man was shocked what I said. And now there were another brother or two that sitting. So let us look at it. The Bible said, let us go unto perfection. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Why do I need to know where I come from? Why do I want to know what the Bible teaches? Because the Bible, God gave me these 66 books. Kind of big. Adam had one also. Has one also there. Big, huh? So, we just want to know, oh, Jesus saved me and that's it. And don't forget about all the other things. You see, when people are so opinionated religiously, they don't want what you teach. They think the problem is everything and put him on a pedestal. Just like Calvin would say, we are the first church. The rest of you branch out from us. The Pope is from the line of Peter. So they are so religious and ingrained into it, that any other thing they come to give it to them, they do not want it. Even they know that it is true, they brush it aside because it is not in their creeds and dogmas or whatever we can probably call it constitution. It doesn't constitute what we believe. So I don't want your constitution. Oh, you know, I enjoy the Bible. Over the years, I read the Bible, same place again and again. I see things that I have not seen before. The Bible is practically inexhaustible. You know, you keep on finding little nuggets here and there. And we are learning until the perfect is come. Then this book will no longer be. This book will no longer be with me. Last Thursday, my grandson came to my home. You know, because he had this Bible. I said, okay, let me show you my Bible. So I took down all my versions of the Bible and let him count. How many were there? 70. Different versions of the Bible. Huh? You know, hey, something about the Bible that, you know, when prisoner and criminal are in prison, and the chaplain usually come visit them and offer them what they call the St. John little booklet. First book is always St. John. You know, some criminals says what for, but just encourage them to read it. Hey, many times when they have nothing to do, they have to read something, right? So they're bored, they read, right? And well, some of them were convicted. Yes. That's the power of the Word of God. That God can let you read the book and stop it in you. Then one day the prisoner can say to the chaplain, you have service, I want to come. Then you hear the word, the simple gospel being taught, and you give their life to God, to the Lord. That's a how many criminal. That's why you want to. Well, I went to the prison over there in Huntington, Pennsylvania, the maximum security, to visit the brother there who asked me to go. And the chaplain arranged for me to go and minister to them. Hey, I've never been to a prison before. That was scary, huh? The metal door, one step, boom. Then the another one, boom. Oh, I'm locked in, I cannot come out. You know? And then the security there, and I can speak only to a few. And the time limit that's given to us. But that brother, well, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't too drunk. And he was running around, and the governor, was it governor or mayor? I didn't governor. Mayor of that town doesn't like him. So, a young woman found dead in his home, her head was bashed against the sink, and she died. And then they arrested him, and he was not home, and he was actually very innocent. Later on, they did all the tests, they found him innocent, but they didn't miss him. But you see, he said that because of this incident, I found Christ in the prison. Huh? Think about it. And he found the truth, because my book somehow went in there to the prison. Oh, the working God works. Not only there in America, he went also to prison in Africa. Remember I told you, asking me for soap? They want soap. The Bible is the word of God. It's, you know, what is recorded to tell us who we are, what God is doing, giving us the plan and the purpose of God. And many people in the end time, they don't even understand the plan and the purpose of God. It's all about Brother Branham. Come on, let us move on, as Paul said. Even as God told Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Whatever you have learned from him and of the law, rise up. Remember those things. Move over Jordan River. Cross over Jordan onto the other side. The land I promised the people. What about us? The same thing. Come out of her. The thing that you have learned, yes, of the word that you have gotten, remember, but come back to this word. This is the full word that God has promised us. Yeah? A little here, a little there, as you eat the corn of the land, of the word of God. I'm not eating a manna. Manna is good only for one day. The corn of the land is good for life. Do you know about the manna? That's why the manna ceased when they went over River Jordan. The manna over this side of River Jordan, the children of Israel cannot collect more than sufficient for the day. Because some of them didn't realize it. They collect it more. They think that tomorrow they don't have. And when they wake up tomorrow, all those manna rot. It's only in the day of the Sabbath, before the day of the Sabbath, they can collect twice the amount. Because God preserved it. That's true. That's why we have to eat the word often, constantly eating it. Not just say, oh, I have it already. And then you don't go to fellowship, you don't want to learn for months. You will dry up. You will really dry up. All right, let's go on. Philippians. So, let us be trust-minded, everybody of the same height. So if there will be anything that is bothering you, if any wise that anyone have other opinion, well, other thing that you don't understand, God will reveal it to him. Alright. So, nevertheless, what do we have already attained? Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let us mind the same thing. Let us walk. Let us press on. Let us together all doing the same thing. Thus minded. Walk by the same rule. Mind the same thing. The sub-brother lay down, conduct order in his church because of what was going on in confusion. And Paul said, let us all walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. You know why? For example, let's say this now. We have fellowship here today. And the problem is that because of this COVID thing that we all have to do live stream. But let's say there was none and we all gather on Sunday. So we all gather on Sunday and meet home, please. We all know the time. It's a regular thing that we do. But if there be any of you feel that, okay, this Sunday I will go with my children or my dad or my mom to another fellowship. Now, you're not walking by the same rule. Right? That's why he said, right? You're not minding the same thing. Years ago when I started this fellowship, I reminded people because of the confusion all over here. We have a place together, we gather. You identify Bob and say, you go to a church. Huh? Find a preacher or a minister, you know, who can be a good teacher to you, stay with him. And be what we call contributing to the fellowship. Supporting it, be there as a pillar. I'm not saying exactly what Bob meant about paraphrasing it. But those days that, wow, if someone said, let me go there to another fellowship on Sunday. And the other one said, yeah, I want to go to the other one. And I said, if you all start doing that, I come on Sunday, how about you are not here? Are you in the same mind? Are you, you know, believing the same thing? Now with the COVID, with the live streaming, yeah, we only a few of us here. There are other places together. Right? I hope that every one of you gather. Or that you want to say, now it's the COVID, so you're not seeing me. I will go to another fellowship. I'll go to another. And I want to say, yeah, let me go to the other fellowship. Something is very wrong. Huh? Oh, but brother, God, I have fasting. I'll be fasting. So suddenly I'm fasting, you know. I just want to go to my room and fast. So you said that you're fasting, you cannot come and worship the Lord together. Friday meeting is another thing. No, say, I'm fasting. So I come and show my face and then I disappear. And I'm fasting in the room. What's going on? Can you continue with the fast and in the fellowship? You know, if we don't have the same mind, we want to do what we want to do, then you are not of the same mind. The body of Christ has one mind because the word of God comes from above. Right? I'm not telling you to be of one mind. Paul is saying that to you because he got this from the Lord that we all should be one head, many members of the body. The hand cannot say, oh, I want to go do something else. Well, what happened? You dislocate your arm. Right? Adam is laughing. Can you do that? No. Huh. So you see, the thing is that point is, that's not what I said. All this, since the COVID comes in, we have all these various teaching. Make us understand more. The joy of the Lord is in the Word. Huh? And that we also bear with one another what we call of bear another's infirmities, so to speak. Understanding one another, sure. Let's go on. Let us walk, this is that. Let us walk by the same rule. Mind the same thing. Interesting, huh? If we don't have this one mind, one accord, we will be like America. Right? America is a nation divided. So, is that why we want a church divided? Certainly not. Then I'll try to go on a few more. Brethren, now, look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk So as you have us for an example.
Be you followers of me. And I said this, Paul said this often to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. We're not following him in the physicalness, huh? But following him in the spiritual reality of how he, as an example, because he said this, the last part, which walk, among them, which walk so as you have asked for an example. Good example. A preacher should practice what he preached. Obviously. And Paul said, I mean, he's also including the others with him, that you have asked for example. Go to the book of Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Hey, I like this verse. Look at what's so special about this verse. Okay, read carefully. Cursed be the man that trusts in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusts in man. In the flesh, right? It says what? The trust and make us flesh his arm. That's, no, we don't trust the flesh of man. Now, what do you trust? When Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, you're not trusting Paul. It's flesh. Correct? You're following Paul's example, the way he walked. The thing that you have taught and learned. Not just to say, Paul says, this is it, and they just follow. And they will call to other, Paul says, this is this, and this is this, or that is that, and that is that. No. Because Paul said to Timothy, search the scripture. Right? And see if those things be true. Is it not true? See the example that Paul taught the people, how to walk in the Lord, how to walk in the Word, look into the Word, examine the Word, check it out. But today we have those who say, Barab Hamsa, Barab Hamsa, Barab Hamsa, Barab Hamsa. They trust in Barab Hamsa. But again, I trust the prophet, I don't trust you. But cursed be the man who trusts in man. Oh, brother, God, are you saying that I don't trust Barab Hamsa? I cannot trust Barab Hamsa. I believe his word. I didn't say that. You trust in the flesh of the man. Problem said a lot of things, do you understand? And you'll be cursed. But he's a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God. I said, I know. Look at 1 Kings chapter 13. What do you see on the case in chapter 13 of 1 John? I mean 1 Kings. You remember 1 Kings 13? I always remember the 13. It's a bad number. Because there we have two prophets. And the man of God was told by God, don't go and eat there, right? Don't go back where you came from. Go away from that place. Don't go back. Don't eat. Don't stay there. But here come the old prophet. And the old prophet lied to him. Huh? He lied! The thing that brought man was so perfect that he don't make mistake. And I said this, Abraham is human. We're not looking at this man as being so perfect. That everybody out there is perfect. There are not one thing he had a message. Do you think that Luther was perfect? God used that man. And what did he do? The church only by faith, right? Don't go through all this buying of indulgence. You know, how many of you are Catholic? No, none of you before, right? You know what indulgences are? Buy lottery ticket, so to speak, to pray your grandfather out of purgatory and stuff like that. That's right. And then do a lot of penance, walk on your knees. Like what you have in the Philippines and in Brazil, many countries in the Central America.
Well, on Good Friday, what did they do? They carried the cross. Somebody will act like Jesus and they whip the presbyterians. They can whip themselves. They think they get penance. They get their sin forgiven by that. But they have been lied to by the first beast. By the woman who wrote on that beast. They trust in the flesh. On him who called himself Bacchus Belial. You know, the internet is out there. All the messages are posted out there. Data are being collected. So this guy, this man called Richard Dent, speaking against the Great Hall. You can collect all this information, I'll be a martyr. Because the world is full of watchdogs. Watchdog where some powerful man wanted to control. But Paul is teaching the truth. This life of mine is only worth the living as far as Christ is concerned. Right? And if I should pass away, then I passed away. As Paul said, to depart. For me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. So, I have to speak the truth concerning what was going on in Branhamism. Because God opened my eye to it. How do I prove him? Something is wrong. The scripture showed the example here. Cursed be the man who trusts in man. Who are you trusting? Hey, don't trust me. One time, you know, you know, concerning the offerings and the tithes, the offering and tithes, you know, we have reports of where the money is used, how the money is used, right? Some brothers say, oh, Bergen, you don't have to do that. And even an African brother was surprised that I give an account of how, where the money goes to and help people, what we, how the, what, you know, the collection used for premium books, you know that back in those days, the cassette tapes, the postage, right? And things like the missionary work. And a brother told me, he said, Brigham, local brother, he said, Brigham, you don't have to give us an account. He says, why not? Because we trust you. I said, you trust me, thank you very much, I don't trust myself. And the African brother was surprised. He said, you mean you give account to the church? I said, you don't? I said, no. Money I collect, I use what I want to use it for. I said, okay, you better be sincere that you don't misuse the ties that belongs to God. You know. So, what do you trust? Trust in man. Cursed be the man. So, this old prophet lied to the man of God in 1 Kings 13. I mean, you know, he was a young man, the man of God was young, and this was the old prophet. The Bible said, well, old prophet, right? He was not a young prophet. Now, if he was a young prophet, the man of God would not have trusted him. Yeah, he are younger than me, I'm older than him. I've been in ministry for long, as most people like to talk about that. But only was the Bible especially mentioning the old prophet, so the people will understand that you don't just believe the old prophet and expect him to tell you the truth always. God used the. Some people are asking, why did this old prophet lie? Why did he lie? Hey, God can use anybody. If God can use Balaam's donkey to talk, right? But use the old prophet to test this man of God. He has already received, the man of God has received direction, directive from God. What to do? He heard it from him, right? Why did he decide to change? Because the old prophet said something else. If God wants the man of God to really eat with him, God will show him. That's why I told a sister one time. Back in those days when she's trying to, you know, say that my wife is going to have another child. God, they were friction. I said, no, sister, that prophecy is not true. I said, she said, I don't know. It comes from God. No. Many times people just say, you've got emotion to prophesy. Huh? Some people prophesy, they don't like someone, they just prophesy also. So I told the sister, I said, there were others, brothers around me, because they wonder about the prophecy. And I told the sister, no, that prophecy is not God.
I say, if God want me to have another child, back in those days when two children were young, God would have told me. But God already told me even before I was married, at what age I would marry, and the number of children I would have. A boy and then followed by a girl. And it's just what it is. I told my wife that. You know. So you see, if you have heard from God, really you know there is God. Huh? Anybody else come to tell you any other thing? Cannot be true. But unless you do not know it's true, unless the person come tell you, you know, if the man of the old prophet came up to this man of God and told him, saying, you know, God told me to come. But if God at the same time had told this man of God to be careful of this, then he would know. But God did not say anything. But God is just wanting this to have this event happen, put in scripture. So that any foolish Branhamites, any extremists, any nonsense, look into the scripture. That is true. Jeremiah tells the truth. As God promised to him, if any man trusts in man and make us flesh his arm. I mean, he said, the flesh of Abraham, he's a prophet, right? He was a prophet, right? The man of God took at the old prophet. Yeah, he was a prophet, right? The flesh, you trust in the flesh. I don't trust in the flesh. That's why when I was in the denomination, God opened my eyes to the Godhead. And I know it's true. And giving me the wisdom to be able to give a reply to the pastor of the church. And I reply him with a question. When he asked me the question, I reply with a question. And he cannot answer it. Huh? I hope that you all know when you discuss with anybody about the Godhead, I hope you know what to say. If they will ask you, you don't believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what would you say? Do you say, no, I don't believe? Or do you say, yes, I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Then if you believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there must be three persons. Then what will you do? They ask you, don't you believe there was three persons? Then you will say, no. Then you ask him a question. How many thrones would God sit on? Now, he will be faced to give you an answer. Am I right? How many thrones did God sit on? Now that would be cause him to think. That's what my pastor was at that time. Well, he was my pastor back then, and I really I held him in high extreme at that time. You know. And he was thinking, and you know, one throne. So you sure? So look into the book of Revelation. And we read it. It says the throne, singular, of God and of the Lamb. I say, who sits on that? And that's where a long pause. So, being God, he can show you as one or as three. I said, how? Three heads and one body? Or three persons squeezing into one throne? How do you do that? You see, that's why wisdom comes from the Word of God. Without knowledge, my people perish. That's thus said the Lord. God said so. Is that right? So let us eat this book. Eat it. As God told John. And that's all we do. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness to your word. And thank you, Father, for life. Life has come from your word. And we thank you, Father, for this book of life and the word that is penned down, scripted down here all those thousands of years back.
for us in this generation to have this privilege, O Lord, to look into your plan and the purpose for mankind, and especially, Lord, for us, the bride of Christ. Father, we thank you. Bless your word, Lord, and bless the rest of this day. Bless your people everywhere. Keep them, Father, under the blood. Keep them, Lord, with your spirit. Put a canopy, O Father, of blood and life and spirit over them, every one of us. That this world, Lord, plunge into greater disasters with the pestilence that is, well, pandemic as they call it. Whatever, Lord, your plan be, whatever you have already ordained before the foundation of the world that it should be. And we ask that, Lord, you grace our life and bless all now in Jesus' name. Amen.